It's relying on someone else, but God has called us to trust him. When I took Martha to the park and the kids to the park, and they were walking on this little pole, and they want to hold your hand, don't they? And I want to like let go and see if she can do it. But I'll be there, you know. But the truth is, God just wants to hold our hand. He wants us to know always that when we walk this pole of life, he's not a father like we are. You know, the Bible says the fathers do their best and they do good, they do all right. But God is not like that because he's perfect father. And he wants us to learn that when we walk this pole of life, that he's always there. And to be honest, unless we learn to trust him, we will never really live for him. We can never satisfy the plan that God has for our lives unless we do it with him. If we only rely on our own circumstances, our own income, our own measures, are you going to do anything great for the Lord? But God has called us, Jesus has called us for a plan and a purpose. And as we learn to trust him, we can take greater steps of faith. We can live a life of boldness following Jesus. Jesus has called us to trust in the Father. So shall we look at Genesis 22. Today we're talking about Yahweh Jireh, or Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. As you could already tell from intro, the Lord is our provider. We can trust for him to provide for us. So this is where the name came from. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac. Let me just read that to you. It's Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Now in these sentences, you can hear the echo of God's son, Jesus. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early, though I don't think he slept much. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for the fire, for the burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there. Then we will come back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide the sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up a knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use the name as a proverb, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You know from the story well, farewell, that Isaac is a picture of Jesus. And the area which God called him, Mount Moriah, was just close to Jerusalem. So it's most likely that one of those mountains that God pointed out was the mountain of Jesus' crucifixion. And Isaac foreshadowed the coming of Jesus and the true sacrifice, that on that mountain it will be provided. What was provided? Well, God gave his son, his only son, whom he loved, on that mountain. And in Romans 8 it says, will he not along with him give us everything else? He's already provided his son for us. His one and only son. Will he not give us everything we need for our life? If we go to the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Well, the mountain of the Lord is the cross. There it was provided once and for all, for everything we need. It was provided for our sins. You know, it's not like God is counting our sins against us now as you walk with him. We might do that, but as soon as we sin and step forward, it gets cut off from the mountain of the Lord. And all the good things we do are cut off. All the good things we do are in the Lord. Not from ourselves, but from him. So on that mountain, it was provided. And God is calling us to trust in him, to trust in Jesus. For this one and son was given. You can hear the echo in those words when God speaks to Abraham. Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love. When God says these words, he knows farewell of who he's actually talking about. Your son, your only son. And it says, whom you love. And you can imagine Abraham hear these words from heaven. What might happen in his reasoning, I do not know. But he knew God and he trusted God. It says in Hebrews that he believed that God can even bring Isaac back from the dead. For there was a promise over Abraham's life that Isaac will be the one through whom the offspring will be counted. He believed in the promise can happen regardless of what happens in this world. He believed in God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed in God, but he walked down on that mountain with Isaac, and God had become his provider. He named him Jehovah Jireh, my provider. In his heart, God had become his provider by name. Has that happened to you yet? Have you learned that God is your provider by name? You know who he is. He's the one who provides. Abraham knew that well down deeply. And he trusted God. And it was provided for him. But as humans, like I said before, we want to learn to provide for ourselves, don't we? We do not like to be in a place of need. We do not like to be in a place where we don't know what's going to happen next. We do not like to be in the end of the month where direct debit's coming in. We don't have the money. Everyone's afraid of that place. We just want to naturally throw ourselves into providing for ourselves. If you're a man, you might want to throw yourself into providing for your family. And we throw ourselves head and feet into work, striving for food to eat. And this is what the world does. It says in Psalm 127 that, it's useless to toil from early morning till late at night, striving for food to eat, because God gives rest to his loved ones. Yes, there is a promise of rest in Jesus. Jesus said, when a greedy person came to him and from the crowd shouted, Jesus, tell my brother to share out the estate of my father between us. some affair going on about money and having something. And Jesus was, who am I to do these things, judge over these things for you? And then he turned to his disciples and said, watch out for greed. Watch out. And he told them the story of a man who built big barns and everything was going well for him. Work was going well for him. It was flowing in. And he built bigger barns and bigger barns. And then thought, oh, I can rest now. I've built enough, I can rest now. And Jesus said, well, watch out for that day. God will claim your life from you. It's foolish to store up riches on earth, but not have a rich relationship with God. And then he goes on to say, but you, my flock, do not worry about these things. Do not worry at all. Now, there's pretty challenging words. We forget to believe in the gospel sometimes. We want to be good Christians, but are we going to be Christians who believe the gospel? I think the gospel is the teaching of Jesus, isn't it? The good news. And I think the Western church or the church today has stepped back from believing the gospel. The subtle influence of culture has crept in, and you live a life that's just on the edge, but not on the heart of the gospel. So hear the ringing of the words of Jesus. Why worry? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't work. They don't gather. But God provides for them anyway. And you are much more valuable to God than a whole flock of birds. And then he goes on to say, but look at the flower. It doesn't labor or spin or work. Yet God has clothed it more in more splendor than Solomon was clothed in all of his splendor. So if by worrying you can't even change a little thing in your life, then why worry altogether? Then why worry about big things? Listen, he says, listen, your Father already knows your needs. Jehovah Jireh already knows your needs, even before you ask. And do not worry, for it gives your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, seek the kingdom of God first, above all else. And all of these things will work out, he says. All of these things will be given to you. Seek the kingdom of God first. And all of the life issues, finance, money, direct debits, cars, houses, school clothes, all of that, listen, it will work out. It will work out because these things dominate the minds of unbelievers. Constantly thinking 5 years ahead, 2 years ahead, 1 year ahead, plan. Mortgage over here, credit card over here, installments over there. So easily done. There's so many other ways you can turn outside of God's provision these days. There's always another way. But Jesus said, these things dominate the minds of unbelievers. It should not be like that with you. For God already knows what you need. And he loves to give you the kingdom. So this is what Jesus said. This is where he set the bar. It's awesome to read that because it's scary. And my family background is, my dad was a pastor. We had 5 kids and often no certain income. And my mom ran different businesses at times. And it was a journey. And it was crazy. It was awesome. But the Lord did provide in many different ways. I'm not saying we weren't in need. Jesus was often in need. Jesus sometimes went hungry a little bit for a while. Sometimes he had no place to lay his head. But then he feeds 5,000 people. How does he do that? And then 4,000 again. Because he had learned the secret of trust. Actually, I've got a credit card in heaven. It doesn't run out if I learn to walk in it. And Jesus is calling us to walk in trust with God, in trusting him, in knowing him, that he's our provider. Well, there's another rule, isn't there? You can make your work your provider. You can make benefits your provider. You can make loans your provider. Often we like to provide for ourselves. It's funny though that work was cursed from the beginning. Did not God say that the ground now will be cursed because of your sin? And you shall, with the sweat of your brow, work it. And instead of bringing good fruit all the time, it will bring you thorns and thistles on the side. And actually, working the ground has been the work throughout history, hasn't it? Working the ground, fielding crops. I mean, now we just go to Tesco's, but there's always been like that, has it? People have just worked the ground, prayed for rain, just been working. I don't know if you've ever been digging in the garden, but it's hard work. And there's a lot of Estonian novels about around that kind of farming and stuff, and how they dig and they work and they work. And there's, you get a plot of field and it's covered in stones. So first you start to dig and get the stones out, the big stones, and you carry them and you start to make a wall. That's why all the fields are covered with stone walls, because you have to carry them out from the field. And if you actually start to hit the spade in the ground and get one rock out, it's craftiness. I mean, it's like crafting, you know? It's working. And when the sun is scorching down, and then you do it all the work, you plow it, maybe with your ox, and it starts to come, but then weeds come as well, thistles and brambles thick as an inch, and oh, work. It's cursed, isn't it? And then it gets tedious and the same. Are we called to do it? Yeah. The Bible says work, of course. Yeah. The lazy shall not eat. Paul encouraged us to work with our hands. Of course. Though shall we make work our provider? Shall we make that ground which was cursed, the one who provides for us, our refuge? Oh, my refuge, my job. Oh, my stronghold, my income. Oh, my place of safety. Well, some guys like to say, but I'm blessed in my work. I love my job. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you mean you love to get paid from your job. And maybe you have grace of your job. It's great, yeah? So it never gets tedious. It's never, there's never a cost. I mean, women still have pain when they give birth, don't they? They haven't been miraculously set free from their curse. There is a curse. And it keeps us humble and close to God. But are we to trust in it? No. We are to trust in Jehovah Jireh. He can provide through your job. He cannot. He can call you out of your job to go and walk a route that's a bit more scarier. And might want to provide for you in different ways. Will you dare do it? God has called us to trust in him. And he promised to provide for us. So this is the intro. Taya's going to come and give all the nice stories from our life. How God provides for our family.
Right. So if God gave his only son, how does he not give us everything else? But it's not easy to actually apply it to your life, is it? So I was thinking back to our life, and I was thinking about the time where God really like was teaching us to trust him and was teaching us to know him as his as our provider and just our friend and close to us. I was thinking back at the time before we moved to England. We lived in Finland for a while. And we weren't married yet. We didn't have any money, really. We just lived there, and we lived at this family's little spare room. And we felt like we should get married. So we went to Estonia to organize our wedding, and we thought, it doesn't have to be a very fancy wedding. We just want a little simple ceremony. And we checked our bank account, and we had 18 euros between the two of us. So we were feeling a little bit down, and we thought, who's so stupid to plan a wedding with 18 euros? And we were planning it in 4 weeks as well, so, you know, not like 3 years ahead. So we prayed together, and we were really like asking God, you know, we feel it's right to get married, but how is it going to work out? 18 euros isn't even, you know, it's even not going to be enough to go back to Finland. And then we read the Bible, and actually, I just remembered Carl read the same verse as he was talking about before. He was reading, "Don't worry, look at the birds outside, how they do not work and they don't gather things in the barn, but God looks after them." And so we felt encouraged by that. And for some reason, we felt like we should go and check our bank account again. And we went and checked it, and somebody at just that moment had transferred 300 euros to us as an early wedding present, and he didn't know that we didn't have any money. He just felt like he should do that. And for that 300 euros, actually, we got a lot of things organized already. And then all these people started to come and say, "Look, we really felt like we should give you this thing as a wedding present, like flowers." And then another one came and said, we felt like we should give you as a wedding present, like the photographer came, and all these different things just like came together. I was the bride, but I barely organized anything. it was just God doing it all, and it was amazing. It was like the focus had gone off from the actual day of wedding and all the nice things you would like to do and all the nice things that you should, and it came together. It was an awesome day. We had all the beautiful, I had all the beautiful dress and all the beautiful flowers and all the beautiful things you're supposed to have on your wedding. But what was the most precious thing about it was learning that God was with us and God was taking care of us and God was looking after us, and we could trust God in it. So after that, we came to England, and we still had some times when we didn't have much money and we were needing things that we didn't like have things there. We were about to have our first baby, and the NHS or somebody in NHS had decided that I shouldn't get any free healthcare in England, which was a fault, but it was a hard time. It really gave us an opportunity to learn to trust God, to learn to actually take our practical needs to God and pray about it and see how God will work it out. See how God will trust, how God will like see. And when I look back at this story of Abraham and Isaac, actually, I don't know if you noticed, but he had to do some things before he saw God providing for him. He actually had to take Isaac on this mountain first, and then he could see the ram. He wasn't like, "Oh yeah, take your son Isaac, and then I will give you this ram when you get to this mountain." He didn't know that then. He had to trust first, and then he could go and see God providing for him. And I was thinking about the other story in the Old Testament where Elijah goes to this widow and says, you know, "Give me a drink of water and give me some bread as well." And the widow says, "Look, honestly, I have no bread left. I have last of my oil and last of my flour. And then when I've made my last bit of bread, then we'll just die." And Elijah, you know, doesn't seem like the most tactful thing to say, but he says to this widow, "Actually, give me this last bit of bread first, and then you will see what happens." You know, it's not like a nice thing to hear, isn't it? You know, "This is my last bit of something," and then you're asked to give that away. But actually, what she says is that, "Okay, I will do it." And then she goes and does it, and then they will see how the oil, the supernatural provision, how the oil and the flour never runs out. It's not easy always to like go and put your trust in God at first without seeing. But then actually God almost like wants us to do that first, and then he will provide. Then you will see how he does it, like in which way. It's not always the way that you kind of would think about yourself. But yeah, that story of our wedding was like the opposite of how all the British weddings are usually are organized. But for us, it was such an awesome story of how God looked after us and how we learned to trust God.
Excellent. Awesome. Brilliant. Yeah. I think I preached all Taylor's ideas beforehand as well. Because I asked her, "So what are you going to share? So I just left her with only a little bit. Well done, Terje. God has provided for us. I think God wants us all to trust in Him. Whether you work, whether you live by faith, doesn't really matter. It's not like it's an elite calling to live by faith. No, it says the righteous shall live by faith. Whether you work, whether you're in ministry, full-time ministry, but everyone needs to trust in God. And maybe this morning, work is something you want to just, I'm not saying give up, but you want to put it under God so it doesn't control your life, so that the devil doesn't get a foothold of worry into your heart. There's one thing you want to, this worry around work or this tiredness around work. So many families are broken up because men can't stop working because they can't trust. There's a limit, there's a balance. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe work is tearing you apart and you just want the God balance of trust and wisdom. Maybe there is someone who wants to do something more for God. You know, God also provides for ourselves, yeah? For our families. The children of the godly never go hungry. That's why Christians can have loads of kids. Because God will bless for all of them. It's awesome. Now when I pray, I can just say, God, there's kids. There's kids to feed. You gotta give me some. Because I might doubt God's love for me. Nobody loves me also. When I was a little kid, I prayed for a Lego. God, provide me this awesome Lego. In Estonia, Legos were so expensive. They would be like £2,000 in equivalent to English money. So would you ever get one? You know what I mean? You wouldn't, would you? And this Lego was like on the shelf in Panama. Never got it. But we went on this trip that God provided with the 5 kids to Norway. We went twice. People thought we were rich because we traveled. But it was awesome with Lord's provision. And our family went with the minibus to Norway through Germany and Finland. And I think we did it twice, didn't we? Yeah, I must have been a kid. But then I prayed, Lord, let me get this Pharaoh's tomb Lego in this trip. And we go to this wholesale place. And there's like only a couple of Legos. And one of them is that Lego. And it was like dead cheap. So my mom bought me it. Like, the Lord provide me a Lego! The Lord loves us, doesn't he? He loves to give good things for us. He loves us. He loves our families. He provides for our families. He provides for your children. It's who he is. He can't deny himself. You know, when he sweared to Abraham, didn't he? God made us swear by himself, because there was no one greater to swear by, that I will bless you and be with you. And then he gave a promise as well. I will never leave you. And then Hebrews says that, you know, he gave us a swear, a vow, and the promise. And he cannot lie. So shall we put him to the test? Trust him for ourselves. Trust him for our families. Trust him for your kids. Trust him and see the income flow when it's needed. And you will have an adventure. And he will also provide for your ministry. God has called us to do something great, and we will never do it unless we learn to tap into his resources. Do you think Reiner would have built that massive, biggest tent in the world if he was like relying on his monthly income of his church? We're called to do something amazing for God, and we need to learn to trust him. Like Terje said, trust comes first, provision follows after, because he puts God in his place. He puts a banner up, not by my strength, but by his strength. We're going to take the land. God will provide for the work he's called you to do. If God's called you into full-time ministry, he will provide for your family. He will provide for the work. Yes. And when we learn to trust him, we could do far greater things than we could do ever on our own. So shall we rise and pray? Rise up and stand up and pray. And if you want to come forward and receive some prayer, you're free to do it this morning. If you want free from worry and you're heavy laden and burdened with work, you can come forward. Maybe you've just tried to do it your own way and you're in debt And you always grab to debt rather than to God when you need something in your life. So easily done. Quick to installments. Is it wrong? Not always, but sometimes, yeah. Maybe this morning you want to say, actually, I want to believe in direct provision. Direct provision. I want to believe that Jesus will provide me exactly when I need it. How many people say, oh, I wish I haven't got the mortgage. I wish I haven't bought that car on that lease. And you're strapped down and held under. Maybe you want to walk in a different way and learn to believe a supernatural walk that Jesus called you on. You can come forward. Maybe you need faith for your ministry, for God to provide and call you out. Then you can come forward as well. Dear Father God, we thank you that you are our Father who gave his one and only Son, whom you loved. And with him, Lord, you will also give us everything else we need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can use your name that was provided for us on the mountain of the Lord to sign all of our prayers. Lord, this morning, help us put our trust in you. To put our trust in you, Jesus. Those who know his name will trust in him, and he will never abandon them. Praise the Lord. If you want to come forward, you can come now. Thank you, Jesus. We give you our hearts. We give you ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we can have some ministry in the front and tea and coffee in the back.